There is a very high statistical rate of myocarditis and pericarditis, heart problems, heart inflammation related to the COVID shots. And our scientists, we have our own scientists at Children's Health Defense, they have studied this signal. And one of the things they have published in peer-reviewed literature is that the signal was evident even in VAERS 3 months before the FDA or the CDC told the American public that there was an association.
Hi everyone, this is Veronica Kirilenko of the New American Magazine. COVID vaccines are said to be closely and continuously monitored for safety. The government claims that their benefits outweigh the known and potential risks, but apparently refuses to share the relevant information supporting the claim. Last week, the nation's most vocal vaccine safety nonprofit, Children's Health Defense, filed a lawsuit against the FDA to obtain information about its monitoring of the vaccine adverse events reporting system, which, as of today, had received more than 1.5 million adverse reaction reports, including nearly 34,000 deaths. Today, it's my privilege to speak with Mary Holland, the CHD president and general counsel. Mary, welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mary, before we go into more details about the lawsuit, I think it would be beneficial for the viewers to be reminded of what VAERS is and what the government uses it for. So what are the key facts that people need to be aware of?
Sure. So I have to go back in history just a little bit, Veronica. In 1986, Congress passed something called the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. And this act established a number of things, including that they would set up this adverse event reporting system. So the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that we call VAERS is co-run by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and the Centers for Disease Control. And basically, since about 1989, it has kept track of reported injuries and deaths from vaccines. It's what they call a passive reporting system. It does not capture all injuries and deaths. In fact, some very important studies, one done by Harvard in particular in 2010, around Pilgrim Health Services, found that under 1% of vaccine injuries are actually reported to VAERS. So it's a lousy, lousy, antiquated system. Mainstream doctors are now calling it an antiquated system, but it is the most important adverse event reporting system that's available to the public. So the government, even before it rolled out the COVID shots at the end of 2010, told the public, we will have all kinds of elaborate safety monitoring mechanisms to ensure that these shots are perfectly safe and perfectly effective. And the medical establishment has long acknowledged that in rare cases, there might be an injury or a death. That's the reason that Congress passed this law in 1986, basically giving liability protection, legal liability protection to vaccine manufacturers. And that is the case, especially for things like COVID shots that are actually emergency use authorization. It's virtually impossible. Oh, it's impossible to sue them directly. And it's very, very difficult to get compensation. Anyway, in the VAERS report, let me just say that for since 1989 through 2020, usually the reports would show every year about 150 deaths, and it would show several thousand injuries of various kinds for various vaccines. What we saw in 2021 was this unbelievable spike. And what we, as you said correctly, we're now at tens of thousands of reported deaths and over 1.5 million reported injuries. And really good analysts consider that the likelihood is that those numbers are by a factor of 40 less than the actual numbers. So it's a lousy system. It's the only system we have that's available to the public, or almost the only one. We can go into something that's already happened. And Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIAs, are for the public to be able to access information that our government studies with our taxpayer money. So We have been very interested as a vaccine monitoring organization and a safety monitoring organization. We've been very interested to follow VAERS and to get access to the information that they're looking at.
Yeah, we'll get there. Miri, I want to ask you this, you know, about this spike that we've seen in 2021. So the CDC and FDA actually suggested in the Lancet paper published in June of 2022 that VAERS is likely overreported because of the heightened public awareness of the COVID vaccination program. So I suppose you do not agree with this.
No, we don't accept that at all, Veronica, not in the slightest. No reasonable analyst thinks that it's underreporting. It's true that the reports are not verified. It's true that doctors are supposed to report, but what we know from the real world is that doctors and nurses, A, are very busy, B, it takes a lot of time to submit a report, C, it looks bad. They're injuring their patients. They don't want to deal with that. D, many doctors and nurses really don't know how to recognize vaccine injuries. C, people are five. They don't know how to report these injuries. So there's absolutely no legitimate basis to think that there's underreporting. Of course, there should be much more robust, accurate reporting systems and verification of claims of injury and death. There's been virtually no work that we're aware of on the safety signals that are in all this data.
Mm-hmm. So there is an internal document that sets the procedure for FDA and CDC to monitor VAERS, and it's called Standard Operating Procedures for COVID-19, which you quote in your lawsuit. So what is this document and how does it define a safety signal?
Well, yes, they do have standard operating procedures that they've used in many contexts over the years for many different vaccines. And one of the things they look at, Veronica, is called a proportional rating ratio, PRR. And the PRR is very indicative of whether there seems to be a very high number of a particular type of injury. One of the things that the medical literature has shown us over the last 2 years is that there is a very high statistical rate of myocarditis and pericarditis, heart problems, heart inflammation related to the COVID shots. And our scientists, we have our own scientists at Children's Health Defense, they have studied this signal. And one of the things they have published in peer-reviewed literature is that the signal was evident even in VAERS 3 months before the FDA or the CDC told the American public that there was an association between myocarditis and pericarditis and the shots. But there apparently, and this is based on Freedom of Information Act requests that were obtained by Epic Times, there are over 700 safety signals, 700 safety signals. In other words, warning signs that these shots are causing injuries. We know even before they rolled out, we knew that there was the risk of what's called anaphylaxis, that somebody could have an allergic reaction and not be able to breathe. And that's the reason early on that medical professionals were told, keep people waiting for a half an hour in case you see that they can't breathe, and then they could get an EpiPen administered and they would be okay. But there are lots and lots of other safety issues with these shots. And again, it's very individual, Veronica. Some people may develop a heart problem. Some people seem to be developing very fast-acting cancers. Some people develop paralytic disorders. Some people develop autoimmune disorders. There are many safety signals from these shots.
And, you know, there are actually 9 studies of adverse events that Pfizer is asked by the FDA to conclude, and one of them being the study on subclinical myocarditis. And yet the completion date, it has been just recently reported, has been quietly shifted by the FDA by 6 months. What's your comments on that? Why did it happen?
Well, Veronica, one of the really just extraordinary things about this whole COVID vaccine debacle is that these were brought into the marketplace as emergency use authorization products. It was acknowledged to the American public in the fine print that even the clinical trials would not be over until 2024. So the fact that they keep extending it, that they have not released data, that they haven't done the studies that should have been done ages ago, all of this is of a piece that this was a massive experiment on human beings, and the boosters even more so than the original COVID shots. The booster bivalent shots, the vaccines, Veronica, that rolled out just a matter of months ago, the FDA acknowledged to us these were never tested on humans. In fact, they were tested on 8 mice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just remarkable. The good news on that is that very few people in the United States are now taking these booster shots, which are the only shots that are available. They're phasing out all of the original COVID-19 shots. And these bivalent boosters have an uptake rate in the US of about 16%. So the good news is that because most Americans realize there's an issue, or at least half of Americans realize that there's a safety issue with these shots, people are not going, they're not in a rush to go take these boosters.
Yeah, which is good news. But getting back to the standard operating procedures, so once the safety signal is detected, how is it investigated, legally speaking, and how does it normally take?
Well, within FDA and CDC, they have people looking at this information, and they have information that they should be publishing, and they have their own in-house publications. But one of the things that we've encountered is we said, show us the data. You're telling us that you're making these decisions that there's not a safety signal based on your PRR ratios. Show us the data. And we asked for that months ago, and they said, no, we can't show you that data. This relates to we're going to assert an exemption from the Freedom of Information Act laws. We're going to say that this reflects intra-administrative communication or legally sensitive information. And so they refused to provide it. And so it was because of that, Veronica, that we did finally last week sue, and we sued in the federal court in Washington, D.C., to gain access to this information, because it should be a matter of public record. If you're asserting that these shots are safe for the public and everybody should take it, essentially, well, then the least you can do is make the data available.
Mm-hmm. Another very concerning thing is when the CDC and FDA even started to look into VAERS. So when did they start analyzing safety signals? Given the unprecedented nature of the rollout of experimental vaccines, one would expect the CDC and FDA to look really closely into any and all alarming signals that the products might be linked to. But we've seen that the number of VAERS report again soared unprecedentedly, spiked in 2021. Yet the agencies did not start analyzing this anomaly right away, did they?
No, not at all. It's been shocking, Veronica. It's been absolutely shocking. So, as I say, in a typical year in the United States, there would be about 150, maybe a little lower, maybe 200 deaths reported from federally recommended vaccines. And then we saw it go up into the tens of thousands within the first year. Also, I would point out that in briefings by the FDA committee, the expert committee, before the rollout of the vaccines, they talked to the public, and these were videotaped meetings, about 11 different kinds of safety data that they would be collecting. So other groups have also done important Freedom of Information Act requests, including the Informed Consent Action Network. They got data from VSafe. VSafe was an app that people put on their phone, and it asked people after they got the shots, how are you feeling? What's going on? So there were millions of records in VSafe, which also the government was not going to release voluntarily, even though it was de-identified data. In other words, you couldn't figure out who it was, so it wouldn't invade anybody's privacy. And that was the result. That information has been made available as a result of litigation. Sadly, it's very clear that the government has no interest in making available information about accurate information about injuries and deaths from the shots. And I think that stems in large part because they are obviously culpable. They gave this emergency use authorization, they promoted it, they spent $13 billion, they put out all kinds of advertisements to get people to have uptake. So they are very, very slow in acknowledging that this has been a debacle. From my perspective, one of the bits of good news is that now the House of Representatives is more emboldened and is clearly going to be looking into this. And there is a select committee that is assembled especially to look into everything COVID related. This is really welcome because we have to get to the bottom of what went wrong here. A lot went wrong. And if we're ever going to prevent this from happening again, especially in this era where certain the government, our government, world leaders, the World Health Organization are telling us that pandemics are here to stay and we're going to have to face new pandemics. It's critical that we understand what went wrong in COVID, and a lot went wrong, and particularly in assessing safety signals.
Yes, absolutely. And finally, Mary, I'd like to ask you this. You already mentioned the Epoch Times report about the CDC receiving tens of thousands of serious adverse events reports and the major categories. And you mentioned there are 700 of them, right? Include cardiovascular, neurological, thromboembolic events, and deaths, and all in just a couple of months, actually. And knowing that theirs is underreported, the true scale of injuries is really hard and scary to think about. So my question is, are there any criteria for the vaccines to be recognized as unsafe and pulled from the market?
Veronica, many physicians and scientists around the world since 2020 have been calling for a halt and for all of these to be taken off the market. We submitted a petition from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., our chairman, and Dr. Merrill Nass in 2020, I believe it was May 2020, asking the FDA to pull all of these shots off the market. We believe these are unsafe, they are unreasonably dangerous, and they absolutely should be off the market. They don't stop infection, they don't stop transmission, they're not proven to prevent hospitalization. Their effectiveness wanes within a matter of months. They don't prevent death. In fact, we know that there's a cumulative risk. The more of these shots you've taken, the more likely it is you could die from COVID or from some other cause. So they're not safe. This is a debacle. It has not yet been acknowledged by the government, but hundreds of physicians have acknowledged this. So we have been promoting most recently a petition signed by over 500 physicians and healthcare workers now to stop the shots. We believe that it is absolutely critical to stop them. But it's interesting. I was just on a presentation before joining you where a physician told me that 96% of American physicians took these shots. So I think that helps you to understand the level of resistance among doctors, probably also among government officials, to acknowledge that there is literally a lethal risk associated with these shots.
But there is no law that would say, all right, if we reach this threshold of injuries and deaths, then the shots should be.
Yes. So with other drugs like Vioxx or with Bextra that don't have this extraordinary liability protection, plaintiff's lawyers can bring lawsuits and essentially put the organization, the pharmaceutical company, under threat of bankruptcy or of billions of dollars in damages. That happened to Merck with the Vioxx settlement. They had to pay out $4 billion or put it aside in a settlement account. But vaccines have been different since 1986, and even more so with these pandemic countermeasures since 2005. They don't have a risk of litigation. So literally, it is people just stop taking them, which is the case now. And now they're worried, how do we get paid for these shots that nobody's going to use? The newspapers are talking about that now. But the only other thing is for the FDA to withdraw their license. It's interesting that the FDA has said that they are basically taking the original shots, COVID-19, off the market now. And the only thing that's available are the bivalent boosters. But even these boosters, Veronica, they are not coordinated with the viral strains in circulation. There's a complete mismatch here. And the harms are very clear. This is not safe. And one of the other really important messages is COVID is a treatable disease and early treatment works. If you get to somebody within the first 3 days that they start having symptoms of COVID and there are various symptoms, there are lots of effective treatments that have been used worldwide, anti-inflammatory, antiviral, all kinds of different treatments that work. And sometimes it's many different drugs or many different modalities. And the first one is just like a spray in your nose or a gargle. Those things that stop the viral replication in your nose and throat, that can basically turn this into a couple days, you'd feel lousy and then you're fine.
Mary, thank you so much for taking the time today to share this valuable information with us. Please tell us, what's the best way to follow you and your work?
Sure, thank you. So I invite all of you to come to childrenshealthdefense.org, www.childrenshealthdefense.org. We have a daily free newsletter, The Defender, that covers lots of things about vaccines and other possible toxic exposures, health. And we also have CHD TV, where we have about 20 hours of content every week.
That was Mary Holland, everyone. Thank you for watching. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of The New American Magazine.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At The New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The truth is hard to find, but The New American has it. Check it out at thenewamerican.com.